Well, the scoreboard said I lost today, but what the scoreboard doesn't say is what it is I have found.
Welcome back to the Tennis Connected Studios for September 2, 2018. I'm Nima Naderi alongside Parsa Sammy, and we're here this week to preview week two at the U.S. Open. This week's podcast is brought to you by Grand Slam Tennis Tours. Make sure to hit them up for the rest of the U.S. Open, as well as for the upcoming, yes, Parsa, Australian Open. Never too early for that one. Okay, my friend, still in New York. Loving it. Just got back, watched Sloan take out Mertens.
Yeah.
Straights. It was a little bit of a moon ball fest, a little bit at times, a little bit of some athleticism, and, you know, that got it done. Then before that, I was watching Isner take out a hobbled Raonic. He said that after in his presser, he felt some sharp pain going up his leg that he's never felt in his life. I mean, the guy is just always injured.
It's the story of his MO there.
And then, just been a good week. You know, we saw Rafa this morning, you know, get through Basilashvili, hard-hitting player. And, I mean, Rafa again grinding him out. You had some interesting words to say about that. We'll get to that. And then, obviously, earlier in the week, I mean, the women's draw just got completely blown apart. Muguruza losing early, Halep losing early. A lot of players are
very unpredictable.
Very unpredictable. So hard, man. It's so hard to really knock down the women's. And to a certain degree, it's good because you got to really know your stuff, or you got to be super lucky. So I don't know which one it is really, but pardon me. And then, so anyways, what else we're going to talk about this week? We're going to look at our pre-tournament picks. We're going to look at the upsets that have already taken place that we kind of mentioned. The heat on week one, which basically overtook the event from Monday to Thursday. Court speed, which is definitely slower this year.
Slow. I mean, you should favor Nadal.
And what to look forward to as we move to the final weekend, which is coming up in a few days. Be here before we know it. So let's start with the with the women's Parsa. So we have, let's just run down what we got left here. So we got Serena Williams, got through Kanepi today. I mean, she won the first set in about 18, 17 minutes.
Yeah.
Lost second set 6-4, got the third set 6-3. She's playing against finalist of a few years ago, Pliskova, who has also defeated her here. What do you think of that matchup? And before we jump into that matchup, what did you think of Serena's performance today? And how does that bode for her as now she's three matches away from this potentially incredible story of coming back as a mother and winning the U.S. Open?
Yeah, I still don't think she's in tip-top condition.
Sure.
She's hitting the ball very, very well. She's being very, very, very aggressive with her shots, and she's keeping the rallies short. And I think Pliskova falls right into her hands again. I think the draw has been such. I think Kanepi was able to keep more balls in play and was able to get her threshold up. Then came the errors. And I think that's why we're seeing Serena Williams play so aggressive. I think against her sister, she was completely on. In the first set against Kanepi, she was just on. And then, you know, from there, if she struggles a little bit, the shots can start to go astray, and you can see her fighting, and that's good. She really wants it bad, but I'm not sure the condition is there. But Pliskova is not the girl that's gonna beat him, not the one who's gonna beat him, beat her. Sorry, it could be somebody like Sloan Stephens in a potential semifinal matchup. So,
which would be a blockbuster, especially with the New York fans and everything. So yeah, I would agree with you. For me, it's and you know, it's interesting because none of us had Serena in the mix here.
Yeah.
And lo and behold, she's like, okay, no problem. You can bet against me, you can bet with me, whatever you want to do, but I'm gonna do my own thing. And she stepped up, and so far she's plowing through. As I said, I watched Sloan play tonight, and I haven't seen her play live for a bit, Parsa. And what I noticed, I mean, I wasn't a big fan of the moon balls.
Yeah.
And I think somebody like, Serena or Sharapova are just gonna step in and clock those. But I mean, she's a very effortless mover. She's a good athlete. She gets to balls very efficiently, and she picks and chooses. Your moon ball, hit a drop shot, smack a cross court forehand. Backhand is reliable. Serve is okay. And I mean, you know, you look at Svitolina got ousted today by Sevastova.
I know you're very disappointed on that, huh?
Yeah. And again, Svitolina once again disappoints me.
Is your female Nick Kyrgios?
Yeah, exactly. And just more without the volatility, I guess. But
yeah.
It's, yeah. And so I think I would definitely favor Sloane and Serena to march forward there and make the semis. I think, I don't know, unless you have some different thoughts on that.
I mean, Sevastova can definitely beat her. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah.
She was down, I think it was 3 or 4-1 in the third, 3-1, I think, in the third last year,
mm-hmm.
in the quarters, in the same position. And that's the match that defined Sloane a little bit. She dug deep. She got through that match, and that was the first time she really did that in her career. And then it was Cinderella story towards the end there. And she ended up holding the trophy. And I think, there needs to be another level for Sloane Stephens, and I think she may have it, and she's going to need it against Sevastova here. So an important match.
Yeah, and then so tomorrow.
And by the way, I think Sloane Stephens is a worse matchup for Serena Williams, and I think Sevastova would play right into Serena Williams' hands again. So also an interesting tidbit there.
Yeah, and I would be looking forward to a Sloane Serena semi.
Yep.
I think that's going to be good for everybody. I think it's going to be super hype. And I think everybody would really enjoy if that took place. Bottom half of the draw, we have some fourth rounders, which will take place tomorrow. We have veteran Suarez Navarro versus another veteran in Maria Sharapova, who's still kicking around. Nice to see. She took out Ostapenko last night, 3-2. Comfortable fashion. We have Madison Keys. Again, Parsa, a little bit of a resurrection for her because she's been pretty quiet so far. She's playing the ever, I guess, spunky, if you want to call it, for lack of a better word, Sibulkova.
Three set dominator, huh?
Yeah, and she's taken out, she's been winning a lot of all of her matches in three sets.
Yeah.
And she took out Kerber, which is, for me, a shock. Kerber's got that's a bad loss, I think, for Kerber, to be quite honest
with
you.
Yeah, I mean, Keys is going through here.
She's
not going to be able to run down her power for three straight
sets.
No,
unless it's just the match of her life.
Yeah.
But definitely, I'm
and she takes it to Keys.
I think an absolutely amazing match tomorrow that everybody should star on their sheet is Sabalenka versus Osaka. Two youngsters, incredible firepower. I mean, Parsa, look at Osaka's scores here. 0-0, 2-0, 3-2. She's just been, dominating her competition. And then Sabalenka last week won in Connecticut. She comes in here, she's beat Kvitova. She's beat Zvonareva, who's a former, I believe, finalist here. And then she also beat Daniel Collins, who, has got a lot of crowd support. American, who did really well early this year in Miami and in Indian Wells. And then to end off, we have... Want to give these names a try for me?
Vondroušková?
Yeah.
There you go. Vondroušová, sorry.
Yeah.
And Serenko.
Yeah.
Not bad. You know who they are?
Yeah, and then... So we have Vondroušová, who I saw play Bouchard earlier in the week, and very lefty. They look basically the same. They were in the exact same night court outfits and everything. But, she was very temperamental as well, too. And she was just chomping on, Bouchard's second serve, everything. And just a quick thing on Bouchard, and I shared this with you earlier in the week, and a lot of people, we've been on her for the last year or so saying, social media, she's got to focus, she's got to do this. And there's no question about that. But for me, Parsa, after seeing her play live for quite a while, honestly, her serve sucks. Her serve needs a lot of work. Her movement is not that good. Talked to a couple really high-profile writers that travel the world, watch them at all the majors. They said the exact same thing. And her backhand is not good. She's got this weird grip with her right hand. She's not really able to extend through. I like to always say continental grip on the right hand so you can extend a little bit more. She doesn't have that. So there's a lot of things she needs to work on, irrespective of her, if you want to quote unquote, the outside, distractions that she may have. Her game is not good enough. And so does that improve at this stage in the game? I really don't think so.
These are the formative years. She
yeah.
should have been, the work should have been done already.
It's like, did Songa really improve his backhand you know, from 25 to whatever he's 30, 30, early 30s now? No. Are you able to manage your weaknesses better?
Definitely.
100%. That's what she needs to do. I'm not saying even her backhand is necessarily a weak shot. I'm just saying that based on what I'm saying technically from it, I don't think it can be a super offensive shot and it's going to be error prone. Her serve can definitely get better because she's popping them in like at 65 miles an hour on her second serves. And she's not that great of a mover, but really like her return of serve. And I think she wants to win. And I really like her forehand as well, too. So we'll see what happens for Bouchard. Actually, interesting enough, because I do follow her on social, she's in Chicago this week because there's a big challenger going on there. So there's a men's and women's ITF event. I guess it's a challenger for the men's and ITF one. What are they, 125s?
Yeah.
Yeah, for the women. So we'll see how that goes. So Parsa, as we move forward, before we wrap up the women's draw this week, who do you have as your champion now with basically 7 days of the event in the books?
Yeah, I mean, I had Sloane Stephens in the final. I think I had it as Serena Williams and Sloane Stephens actually in the semi. And I had Sloane Stephens beating Serena Williams. And I still think that way. I think there's one too many balls coming in from Sloane. I think it's going to be like a 6-4 or something like that. And, you know, I have a hard time. You know, when you look at the bottom half of the draw, it's, you know, something that you look at who's left and what's going on. I mean, these are all players that are going to lose to Sloane Stephens. I can't see any of these players, you know, maybe with Osaka, maybe she's got
She lights it up.
When she's on fire, she's really on fire. She can defend. She can play offense.
You think she's ready to win a Grand Slam?
I don't know.
Yeah.
But she looks like she's bludgeoning her opponents. Yeah. So depends on her form, obviously, when it comes to. But
sometimes that can be a curse, too, because you get through. And then all of a sudden, there's some adversity. And you're like, okay, now what do I do, right? Because you're not really used to it because you've been tuning everybody.
Well, then that's the problem. So. Yeah. You know, I think for me, it's got to be Sloane Stephens. Yeah, I think she looks comfortable. I think she's got a next level. And obviously if Serena wins. Then...
So why can't, in your opinion, based on what you've seen from both players, let's just stick with that, because I think we're kind of leaning Sloane or Serena to win the tournament.
Yeah.
Why don't you see Serena winning this event?
I already said it before, but I don't like when the rallies get longer, the threshold goes up. When she has consistent 7, 8, 9, 10 ball rallies, she just doesn't have the fitness. She's breathing really, really heavy.
Okay.
I think it's and somebody who can defend her power. I don't know if Sloane Stephens can, but if there is a person that can, it would be her.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what ultimately is going to give her problems. She's going to make her hit shot after shot. It's kind of like what Nadal really does. I mean, Nadal... You know, I was just complimenting him to you off air about the third set where he saved his first set point, and it wasn't even he ended up losing the set anyway, but he just keeps punishing you. No matter what, you're just getting punished. So even if you do win the third set, fella,
you're done for the fourth.
You're not going to be able to get gas, you know, and your breath to take me out in the fourth. And right away, he went up a break in the fourth and just dominated the fourth.
Yeah.
It's like, this is what makes these guys different. And I think Sloane Stephens has that ability right now, and I think Serena's missing that ability, and when she has it, she's unstoppable.
And you know, it's interesting that you talk about Rafa, because from a player standpoint, if you have enough confidence in your fitness that you can say, listen, you know what, I'm going to win this match with fitness, because Basilashvili, we'll get to the men's draw in a second, a ton of winners, way more winners than Nadal today, right? But I think Nadal's like, okay, man, even if you win this set, you're going to be done after this. So go ahead. If you can win it, take it, and I'm going to tune you in the fourth set. And that's what happens. So, and kind of like the Agassi mold, right? Agassi would just take your legs away, and you just make it a fitness battle. It wasn't incredibly hot today, but it wasn't obviously cold by any chance.
And you're playing Nadal.
Yeah. So it's tough. I think for me, before we just jump into the men's, I'm going to go with Serena. I think that it's going to be... I still think that, yeah, Sloane is the favorite, or Osaka, but I think Serena, she's just got that X factor that nobody else comes close to, so we'll see.
She definitely does. I mean, obviously, she's the best player ever, men's or women.
Yeah.
You know, I don't care what the debate is.
Yeah.
She's been a dominant figure in sport, So it's just a matter of time until I think she comes back and wins a couple more and pads it makes the story happy. I'm just not sure it's right now. I still need to see her a little bit fitter. She's getting there.
She's definitely getting
there. Yeah.
Okay. So as we move now to the men's draw, we had Nadal taking out Basilashvili after he had probably the match of the tournament against Khachanov, which was like nearly 5 hours or whatever.
Yeah.
And it was only a 4-set tussle. 5-7, 7-5, 7-6, 7-6.
Unbelievable atmosphere.
Yeah, and I was actually on Armstrong watching Shapovalov lose in 5 to Anderson. I'm kind of kicking myself for that, but gotta support the Canadians, right? And then we have Thiem, who is probably a byproduct, Parsa, of the slower courts this year. And, you know, the tournament director, he was on Tennis Channel. We were watching it, and he was talking about how they slowed down the course a little bit to give him a bit more longevity, which I really don't understand, because don't they resurface them all year?
Yeah.
Like, it's going to start snowing here in a couple months. They're toast anyways.
Yeah.
So what is their longevity? Now, is it maybe the initial surface? You know what I'm saying? Like, obviously, it's not like they ripped them apart and then they, just a resurface is a paint, right? So I don't know if it's that. There's definitely some sort of a thing there. And then he also said that they collected data from a lot of the players and the coaches, and I think it was unanimous that everybody wanted them to be a little slower. I think that's kind of what they went for, and so that's what it is. And as a result of that, you see a guy like Dominic Thiem, who likes to stand, uses physicality, who's had pretty much a very poor run at it since the French Open Finals, which he subsequently lost to Nadal. Nadal, toasted him there once again for his 11th title, but lo and behold, they're going to face off again. And there's no way that this is going to be a bad match. It just depends on how long it's going to be. Because Thiem's going to make him work. Nadal's going to make him work. And Nadal's just better at doing that than Thiem is. Especially on a hard court. He's a 3-time former winner of this event. And he is a better hard court player. So how do you see that one matching up for you?
Yeah, I mean, similar. Exactly as you said so well. But I do see Nadal 3 or 4 sets. Kind of being able to break down. I mean, a team is going to have to be able to really take it to him. And, he hasn't been playing like that. It's weird. I always look at him on clay, and I'm like, he's just destroying the ball. And then he gets on a hard court, and I'm like, huh. Like, it's just weird. Like, he's taking rips, but the ball doesn't move through the court the same. I don't know why. I don't know what it is. But he's figured out what's working for him now, and I think that a team is going to give some problems. But I just think it's a matchup problem for Thiem against Nadal, and I just don't think he can beat him.
Okay, and as we move forward, we have Delpo, who's currently in action right now, actually, against Chorich. He will play. He's actually up 6-4, 3-1, about to be 4-1, so it looks like he's in relative cruise control. And he will play the last American male left in the draw, which is John Isner, who won a very, very, and I say this very... I'm pretty sure about what I'm saying just because I was there for pretty much about 90% of the match against Raonic today. Very scratchy match.
Yeah.
Both of them didn't play well. And Parsons, look, and if you ever wanted to see why these courts are slower, look at them against Milos Raonic and John Isner, two of the biggest servers ever on the ATP World Tour. 3-6, 6-3, 6-4, 3-6, 6-2.
Somehow no tiebreak, huh?
Not even 7-5s.
Yeah.
I guess amazing.
Yeah.
And it was so interesting. First set, which Raonic won, he got up to a 3-0 lead, won the set 6-3. Second set, it was same thing. Isner got up to a 2-0 lead, broke Raonic in his first service game, won it 6-3. Third set, it was about 3-3, came in a little bit later, 4-3, and then that's when Isner broke. In the fourth set, Isner broke him again in Raonic's first service game. Raonic did the same thing to Isner. And then in the fifth set, it was,
3-0,
Yeah, 3-0, and then he broke him once again to win the match. So, I don't know. Do you think, let's say that it's Delpo that gets through, because it looks like it at the moment. Is it going to be, can Delpo get through Isner? Probably going to be a day match, I would suspect, because they're probably going to put... Because Nadal's played a couple of day matches now, right?
I think Del Potro's just better. I can just answer to you right now. I think Del Potro's just better than Isner.
No, he is better, but can he beat him here?
Yeah,
with the American crowd at night?
Yeah. I don't even think the American crowd's doing a good job with Isner.
Okay.
you know, it's a little bit disappointing in that way. I mean, you see Isner trying to engage the crowd a little bit more, but
today they were going nuts for him, though, man.
Yeah, I mean, I guess maybe, yeah, you know, you were there. Yeah. I was watching on TV.
They were super behind him, and he's throwing up his hands. And,
all right, good.
Yeah.
So, you know, maybe that'll continue. Maybe if he's got that going and he's playing his absolute top 100% best, he can upend Del Potro, but that's literally what it's going to take. It's like climbing Mount Everest here. I think Del Potro's just, he's got too much time and too much firepower. He's one of the few guys off the ground that can move. He can defend it. Yet he can hit through it, and so you know, not even Nadal can hit through these courts. You know, he really has to hit through his shots, and even though he played at war today, in the, you know, speaking of Nadal, I didn't love that the way he played. I thought he played better matches early on.
Yeah, because he said that he was a bit tired in the third, fourth set, right?
Yeah, he just wasn't, there wasn't as much sting on his ball, and so he was, you know, Basilashvili was able to defend him,
yeah,
and then initiate and pound him a little bit. And I think, well, then you get Delpo in there who's going to be able to defend it, yeah, and then he's really going to pound it. You're in trouble.
For sure. So. Okay. And then that will potentially set up a rematch of last year's semifinals and the French Open semifinals. Again, matches that Nadal has won. And you were saying that one of your good buddies who, you know, does a lot of predicting and stuff like that and is pretty on, he thinks that Del Potro's the guy to beat in this tournament.
Yeah.
And I can kind of see that. Yeah. I mean, because Del Potro can hit through this court. I don't care if they put water in the balls, he's still going to hit through the court, right? Especially with that forehand and his serve. So that could be the difference. But he's going to have to play, I think, top gear, because if it becomes a physical match, Nadal will wear him out. Especially hitting to his backhand, which is not that good, right? And so we'll see what happens. And then moving to the...
And I think Nadal can get the ball up on that backhand. That,
yeah,
backhand's got no more wrists, you know?
Yeah.
He's injured wrists, so it's very hard for him. Nadal will be able to just lock him into that corner and just keep hitting it over and over again until he either gets an error out of him or he's going to be able to get a forehand that he can run around and pummel. So I don't like that matchup for Del Potro. I think that's the big problem.
Okay. And as we move now to the bottom half, we still have fourth round encounters that will take place tomorrow. We have Cilic, who just won an epic last night against Alex Dinamir, 4-6, 3-6, 6-3, 6-4, 7-5 at about 2:30-ish in the morning. He's playing Goffin. I would actually give the edge there to Goffin. I think that Goffin can win this match. That's my opinion. I mean, Cilic is obviously the higher ranked player, but not by much.
You give Goffin the edge?
Yeah, I go 51-49. Slight edge. Slight edge. If I was putting money on that match, I'm going Goffin by whisker. That's my opinion. And then we got Nishikori, Kohlschreiber. First of all, big shout out to both players, but especially Kohlschreiber. I mean, this guy is the professional's professional, kind of like a David Ferrer mode guy. He's still there, still has a decent ranking after all of these years, and he just played amazing against such a smart match against the Rev man. Margin, great footwork, no nonsense, just putting his head down, playing, you know, a guy who's the fourth seed, and he pretty much tuned him. I mean, if you look at the match, he lost the first set 7-6, but then it was 6-4, 6-1, 6-3. And he's got to evolve. And that's the thing with me. I mean, we've got to spend a second on Zverev here because it's starting to become this flaky thing with him, right? He's like, he's becoming how like Murray used to be. He would win Cincy, he would win, you know, Rogers Cup, Indian Wells, do all this stuff, and then get to majors, and then the big guys, the other big three guys would take him out, right? Especially in Nadal and Federer. And now you have a situation where Zverev, he's playing really well in best of threes. And he gets into these best of five scenarios, and again, he's losing the third round of US Open. I think he lost first or second round Wimbledon. Frenchie had a good run, right? He got to quarters. And I think he lost super early in Australia. And I remember he lost second round to George last year of US Open.
It's almost like he can't concentrate for that long.
You know what? Exactly what I was going to say. He doesn't, for me right now, it's not physical. I think he's in good shape. It's not his power. It's not his technique. Although I'm not a massive fan of his forehand. And I will say that for a long time, he chokes up. And the only guy I really saw really hit it well like that was Juan Carlos Ferrero, if you remember, the Mosquito. He kind of choked up about an inch on his forehand. But mean, he had so much whip on that ball, clay court stuff, that he was would make it. But for me, not a massive fan of his forehand, but nevertheless, he should be doing that in the third round. And he should be able to take out Cole Schreiber and then Nishikori, even though they're both really good players. But that's not the case, and he's got to get back to the drawing board. And, you know, you got to think, does Lendl stay with him? Because Lendl's kind of like the Phil Jackson stuff, right? He's got options. He wants to be with winners, right? So he's like, okay, so how much longer do we go? And if he loses the second, third round of Australia, does he still stick with them? So that remains to be seen. But how do you see that match with Nishikori and Cole Schreiber?
Yeah, I mean, I really like Nishikori.
Such a clean hitter, man.
Such a clean hitter. The courts being a little bit slow, I think, favor him and allow him to open up the game. He's another guy who, his speed is incredible. His feel, his anticipation around the court's amazing, and he can hit the ball through the court. Got a new and improved serve where it's not a liability. Yeah. I don't know if it's necessarily a weapon, but
no, it's not a weapon. No.
He's working towards it.
Yeah.
And I think he'll beat Cole Schreiber.
I think so too.
So, and I think that's going to give him a good shot. I think if the Chilich Goffin match goes five sets, and I think
you would Nishikori probably would put Nishikori as the favorite there.
Yeah.
Against either guy.
Yeah.
I would as well too. If Nishikori gets through, I'm going with him to defeat either Cilic or Goffin.
Yeah.
I definitely think that he can do it. Now we're getting to the exciting stuff here.
Milman.
We have. Is it going to be a Sosa-Milman quarter for them to play for the semi? I mean, listen, man, God bless you, whoever is out there, if you're going to bet on that, because I think Djokovic is absolutely going to munch on Sosa. I don't think he's going to lose more than 9 games. Because Sosa's a very feisty competitor, too.
Yeah.
But it just does not look good for him, especially after that war that he had with Lucas Pouille. And he's had a lot of rough matches, man. And so I think that he's going to be gassed out. Great effort to get to the fourth round. Tons of money, ranking points, so he's going to be happy with that. Joker, again, like we said, still doesn't look like he's at his top. But it's starting to kind of get
he's
there.
Almost getting there.
Yeah, you know?
He's like at the 97th percentile. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And he might not even hit 100 here.
And he may still win. Yeah,
yeah, and he still may win, but 100's coming.
Yeah.
I'm right there with you. And then we have John Millman, who, I mean, again, another guy who's had an amazing tournament, fourth round of a major, and Fed talked about it. He had him come down and practice with him in Dubai, and you know, he said he's a super, you know, workhorse and all that stuff. But, I mean, how much of a better draw could Federer have hoped for? I mean, he gets by Kyrgios, who I was there for that part, especially the first set. I had a really good close seat. And Kyrgios came out, played lights out till 3-all. He got to love 40. He had about 3 or 4 break points in that 7th game, played amazing. Federer somehow held after about 12 or 14 minutes, changed the complete complexion of it. Then Kyrgios serving. I mean, even on a set point, like, he's trying to serve him volley, and he has no idea what he's doing at the net. Comes in, and then Federer hits a chip backhand passing shot. Like, how many times are you going to see that happen? And it's like, it's, you know, and then Kyrgios started fanboying him a bit. He's trying to, you know, hit these drop shots that Federer's getting into, even though he hit that one that's been on, like, YouTube and all the channels now, SportsCenter, everything, which was incredible. But for me, I think Kyrgios tried. I don't think he tanked the match. I just think that he was in a position where he still got, again, kind of like a Bouchard, man. I mean, he's got the weapons, but he's a lost cause when he comes up to the net. He comes in on some of the worst approach shots. He kind of like a Milos. If I was coaching, like, let's say I had a player who was going to play Kyrgios, I would say, listen, man, you need to hit around the service line a low slice to this guy, and you'll probably have a good chance, especially to his backhand, because you'll kind of do like this trick shot backhand stuff, and he comes in and he's like a fish out of water. Federer passed him easily 15 times, and you're like, what the hell is going on here, right? But, you know, it is what it is, and Kyrgios goes by. He's gonna get ready for the Laver Cup, have, you know, some espressos with Federer, enjoy his time there, and then we'll see what he does with the rest of the season. Then we get into potentially the match of the tournament, which is going to be Djokovic and Federer. And, you know, we're going to talk to everybody next week. If that takes place on Wednesday night, that's got to be a night session.
Oh, yeah.
How do you see that taking place?
I mean, that's a very hard one to predict. But I just have a tough time seeing Federer come through against these guys. I think he can win the match, but I think he's probably going to win that match 3 out of 10 times. I think that's
And is that night one of the 3 out of 10?
We won't know. We have to. That's why you got to play the match. Yeah, but I think that all everything favors Djokovic in any of these matchups now. And I think, you know, but at any given point, Federer can come out, serve unbelievably well, and keep it very close. And he applies a lot of pressure because he can actually hit different kinds of things. And so that's very, very important that, you know, it depends on the day. It depends on how much, you know, John Millman takes out of him, too. Is it going to be a lot? Is it going to be a little bit? Is it going to be one of those matches where, you know, Federer sometimes has a tendency to just go away for no reason and give a set away, and he's up until 11:30 at night, you know, for no reason, and it affects his preparation for the next, you know, next match. So, mm-hmm. Djokovic, that's what I have for you.
I have the same. I have the same. I actually picked Djokovic to win the event. You had Nadal winning the event.
Yep.
Are you sticking with that? Or are you changing now?
I mean, I'm very nervous about it.
Yeah.
But I feel like I have to stick with it because I don't know if there's a better... Is this the wrong way to say it? But is there a better closer in our sport? Like, once he gets deep into the week two?
Than Rafa?
Yeah. But he's a tough out, no matter who it's going to be. If it's going to be Federer who beats him, or Djokovic who beats him, or whomever it may be, is gonna go through a war to do it.
See, this is what I think. I think because the court is a bit slower this year, and him and Djokovic have had some tussles in the past on a faster hard court. This kind of, I think this, if it's Nadal and Djokovic, I think it favors Nadal a little bit more. The reason is because, and we were talking about this, Wimbledon, that was an amazing match. Amazing five-setter that Djokovic and Nadal had, but grass is a little bit more of an athletic surface.
Yep.
A little bit more. Like, you got to really stretch out, hit these open stance shots, and, you know, there's a lot of balance and traction and all that stuff. And, you know, I think, arguably, Djokovic is better than Nadal at that. But I think on a hard court, which is a medium pace for the most part, or a touch, it's kind of like if you get a steak and you say medium rare or medium plus or well done, it's a kind of a medium plus hard court. I don't think it's medium well, but it's kind of in the middle there. I think it favors Nadal. I think that he's going to be able to get there, do his thing. And because Djokovic is not 100 yet, and I think Nadal's 100, just because he came in last year as the number one seed, and he's still the number one seed.
Yeah.
So he's had a good year. And Parsons, we got to also give Rafa a shout out, because this is the only year since 2011 that he's made at least the quarterfinals of every Grand Slam.
Amazing.
So that's, you know, ultra consistent effort, right, at the biggest events in the world. And don't forget that he had to pull out of the Australian in the fifth set early against Cilic. French, he obviously dominated. Wimbledon, he would have been the winner if he had got by Djokovic, no disrespect to Anderson. Still alive here in NYC, and let's see what happens. But I think it's going to be an amazing end to both draws, women's and men's, and we'll see how it transpires. Now, are we giving Fed no chance of winning this event? Can he beat Djokovic? And then can he beat Nishikori, potentially? And then can he beat Nadal? I don't think so.
No. I mean, he could beat Nishikori in between, but I don't think he can beat two of the big guys in the same draw.
Because those are going to be, those are going to be, five setters probably.
Yeah.
Can he beat Djokovic in five? And
it just depends, you know, and I don't think he trains that hard, you know, hard enough in order to have that.
Yeah.
That mobility. The U.S. Open did something on Facebook. They put out his top five shots in U.S. Open history. And when he was younger, he was so freakishly athletic. It was incredible.
Yeah.
You know, he plays a different brand of ball now. And he's still graceful and he's still incredible. But he was super athletic 10 years ago. No, everyone, I forgot. I mean, he's just sliding around, hitting squash shots and doing all this. Right now, you don't see any of that from him. You know, he's definitely more rigid in that way. And
sure, yeah.
But we'll see. I mean, he's going to be the people's favorite. So who knows what that X factor is going to be.
Yeah. No doubt about that. Okay. And I think, as we wrap it up, I was very impressed this year with the event, Parsa. So far, I'll give my basic summary next week when we wrap up the show and I'm back in Toronto. But they've done an amazing job. I mean, Armstrong is an awesome court. Definitely everybody should check it out. Just the grounds have been upgraded. Seats for everybody. I mean, they've broken record after record. They're, getting over 70,000 people a day now. So, I mean, this is the place to be.
Absolutely.
Without a shadow of a doubt. I mean, this is best tournament of the year. They know exactly what they're doing over here in New York. So kudos to the USTA. And I think that will be it for us this week. Parsa and I will be back next week to wrap up the U.S. Open and then, you know, get ready for what remains for the rest of 2018. In the meantime, make sure to hit up Parsa at ParsaSammy on Instagram and Twitter, myself at Tennis Connected on all the social media forums. Make sure to also download this podcast on iTunes and also hit up Grand Slam Tennis Tour for all your ticket and download needs. Parsa, thank you again for joining us today.
Thank you.
Thanks everybody out there for listening.